together again at this 32nd Psalm. Some say that this psalm was written even before Psalm 51, where David confessed his sin. And for his sin that he had with David and, you know, with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. But I don't know that that would be so, because there he just asked the Lord to cleanse him, to have mercy on, confessed his sin. And here he's talking about how blessed a man is to whom the Lord doesn't impute sin. And he didn't talk about that in Psalm 51. So I think this is a later psalm. I think 51 was first and this was later, in my opinion anyway. But it's called a psalm of Mishkan, a psalm of penitence, a psalm that's dark, a psalm that's got some confession to it. And David starts out here. I'm telling my message this evening, the blessed man and the preserved man, or the kept man. God not only blesses a man in forgiving him, but he blesses a man in keeping him, preserving him. And David starts out here, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. David uses three different words a couple of times in this psalm to describe sin. He talks about transgressions, and John said that sin is a transgression of the law. He transgressed. God had a set standard, and he transgressed that. He went over that. He went above it, crossed over it. And then sin itself. Sin is a thing we're born with. It's our nature. And when he talked about, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and blessed is he who sins. Not sin, sin. If God covers one, he takes care of them all. As far as God's concerned, we have a body of sin. And that's what Paul said in Romans 6. We have a body of sin. And he says that that body of sin was crucified with Christ. And when you're dead to sin, you're no longer subject to sin, and sin can't do anything to you. And so he talked about transgression, and he talked about sin. Sin the nature. Sin the act. Sin the problem. Sin that's everything that's against God. Sin something that is so deceitful. Something so powerful. Something that unless God forgives a man of it, it will torment him to death, unless he just has no sense at all. And then he talked about iniquity. Three words: transgression, sin, and iniquity. And I believe that iniquity means sin with lawlessness involved in it. Just lawlessness, disregard for law, and it's a thing that you do, and you just. It's an inequity in you against God, and you have this disregard, and you just deliberately do what you do. I think that's right. And these, you know, some people think that these three words have described three different phases in a believer's life, or three different things of guilt. But I think they all just go together. I think they're just the same one description of everything. I think it's just a three-word description of sin. Because we do all of it. Transgress, sin, and have iniquity. And so you see, beloved, I tell you what, no iniquity. And then he says here, blessed is the man to whose sin is forgiven. Oh, to be forgiven. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things that a human being can do, but it seems to be one of the most blessed and glorious attributes of God Himself. He says, a man is happy, he is blessed, whose sin or transgression is forgiven. You transgress a law, and God says, you're forgiven. You transgress again, God says, you're forgiven. You just keep transgressing, and God just says, forgiven, 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 forgiven. No end to the forgiveness of God. There's an end to our forgiveness. There's an end to how far we'll go with somebody. But there's no end to how far God will go with the man. There's no end to how many times we transgress. But yet God said, blessed and happy is that man who is forgiven. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, Lord, who would be able to stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And I tell you, and then he goes on to say, whose sin is covered. How's it covered? It's like that mercy seat. Oh, that broken law and that blood on top of that mercy seat. I tell you what, you get under that thing and you get and then that blood's applied there and you're under that mercy seat and that broken law and that blood's there, and as far as God's concerned, sin has covered all you. Blood has covered all your sin. The blood of Christ has forgiven you of all your iniquity. And I don't hardly know how in the world to describe what it means for the Lord not to impute iniquity to somebody. Not impute it, not to charge it to it, not to put it on their account. And not a soul on the top side of God's earth that would not stand in this building today has been saved by the grace of God and say, the Lord imputeth not iniquity to me. He does not charge it to me. He does not put it on my account. He says, you know, here's my account. Here's all my liabilities. Born in Adam, shaped in sin, conceived in iniquity, born a sinner, raised a sinner, do sin, commit, and have actual sins. And here comes God and he says, I tell you, I will not impute. I'll take all those liabilities and I'll put them on my blessed Son over here. And then I'll turn around and take all that's against you and I'll impute it to him and take all that his and impute it to you, and there'll be no iniquity ever imputed to your account. Never charged to your account. Now you keep Romans, Psalm 32, and look in Romans 4 just a minute. I'll tell you what, this is what makes the gospel the gospel. Nobody, none of us would say, you know, I'm not what I should be by no stretch of the imagination, and I am what I shouldn't be. I'm not what I should be, and I am what I should. I should be more like Christ, but I'm more like the flesh. I should be more kind, tender-hearted, patient, loving, gentle, forgiving, forbearing, generous, serving. And then I turn around and I'm impatient, I'm frustrated, discouraged, depressed, aggravated, everything that's against Christ. What I should be, I'm not, and what I shouldn't be, I am. Now how in the world how's God going to deal with me like that? He's going to say, blessed is that man. Never what he should be. Always what he should be. Blessed is that man to whom I will not impute iniquity. What a gospel. What a gospel. That's a gospel for people like me and you. Look over here in Romans 4. Oh my. He said in verse 2, if Abraham were justified by works, he can glory. But he can't do it before God. He may glory before man, but he can't glory before God. Because this is what the Scripture said about Abraham. Not what men say about Abraham, not what the Jews said about Abraham and their relationship to Abraham. But what says the Scripture say about Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that works is the reward. It's not accounted or imputed or reckoned of grace, but it's debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted righteousness. And here's David, and he goes to what David said. And you know what David said? He describes the man who is, how blessed the man is to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And he said, that's the way Abraham was, and that's the way everybody whom Christ died for. That's what he's saying. All right, so blessed is that man, saved. Oh, how blessed he is. Now look what happens here. David, now this is what went on because of his sin. You know, we can't sin as far as in this flesh goes and our conscience not bothers. And so when David, he said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day, all the day long. For day and night thy head was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. So God says here, says, you know, you sin, and what I'll do is I'll make you know you sin. I'll make you understand you sin. I'll make you feel you sin. I'll make you conscious aware of your sin. I'll make you aware that how blessed you are. I'll make you understand just how I'll turn my hand on you. I'll put my hand against you. And I'll take all that moisture that you've got and all that trust you had, and I'll turn it into drought just like summer, and you'll go roaring all day long. And he says, and your hand was heavy on me. And that's what he says, you know. I tell you what, sin caused him. There's always consequences to sin. God, he kept silence, but sin caused his conscience to start to roar. And I tell you what, that's why Paul said, when our Lord Jesus struck him down on the Damascus Road, he said, Saul said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, ain't it? Hard to kick against the pricks. Now look what he said. Then he says, but I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Who in the world else would we dare acknowledge our sin to? Who would you dare acknowledge your sin to? Huh? Who else would you tell your sin to? Who else would you acknowledge your sin to? Would you turn? Would you find you somebody to get in front of and start telling how all the things that you've done? No, I acknowledge my sin. My sin, my nature. All that I am. I confess it unto you. I acknowledge it. And my iniquity have I not hid. I said, what he said is, Lord, you know me. It's all laid out in front of you. I acknowledge it. I confess it. And that's why he started out saying how blessed he was not to have this, because he confessed it. He admitted that there's nothing to me whatsoever without being blessed of you, without being saved by grace, without the mercy of God. There'd be no hope for me. That's what he goes on to say. And then look what he said. And he said, and I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And listen to what he said. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Oh my. You know, I think the hardest thing that anybody has to do in making a confession of faith, and I think that holds people back from it, is because they think they have to get up and tell all that they've done and all how bad they've been. And you know, but all you're doing is when you stand up and saying, I acknowledge, and by just confessing your faith in Christ, all you're saying is that I have no place else to go. That I am a sinner. I have no strength. I have no ability. I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge my iniquity. I confess. And they don't have to say that. But just by turning from themselves and having the grace, by His blessed grace, to stand up and say, I confess Christ right now. I confess that I need Christ. And I believe He saved me. Then you're admitting right then and there that He's saving you from your sin, your iniquity, your transgressions, and everything that's against you. And then when you hear, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, then you'll say, oh, that's what I believe. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, it's like that prodigal son. When he went back to his father, he didn't go back there saying, Father. He didn't go back there saying, you know, I've made a mess out of things. I really have. And I'm sorry I wasted all your money. I'm sorry I wasted what you've done for me. But now listen, I'm back home now and I'm going to do better. No. When he went back to his father, the first thing he said when his father hugged him around the neck, he said, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But then you know what the father said then? Oh, That's what David said. He said, I confessed it. And you know what the Father said? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. Oh, man. I tell you what. He said, God's forgiven grace goes down deep, taking all. And then what did he say there in verse 1 about having no guile? That's man had God gave him no guile. I mean, that this is a man where there's no guile. That means that he's no deceit in him. Before God, there's no deceit. There's no guile. There's no hypocrisy. And he don't like deceit. He don't like guile. He don't like hypocrisy. He don't like covering things up. He don't like not being outward and honest with God and honest with those people around him. There ain't a, you know, is anybody here think that one, if you just, you think of the person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, wherever you are, and you think there's any difference between you and them? No. No. Why is that? Why is that? Because we all acknowledge that, you know what, there's no sense in us being guileless, having guile and deceit and hypocrisy, because we all know just exactly where we are. You ain't going to fool me and I ain't going to fool you. And you know what, this is what's so wonderful. God gives us grace, in spite of all these things we know about one another, to love one another and just enjoy one another, because we are just as honest before God and honest with one another as we can be. And that's the grace of God that does that. Oh my. And now look what happens now. And look what he says. Don't go down here and says now. What he says now. Here's where he's preserved. Here's where he's preserved and he's kept. He's saved. He's confessed. And then he says, you know, but now in verse 6 he says this, so everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Now you notice that, godly pray unto thee. And you know when they'll do it? They'll do it when you can be found. Mm. And oh, when the floods of great waters, they said, these waters of sin, the waters of Satan, and the waters of God's wrath, they'll never roll over you. They won't come nigh unto you. And then look what he said. Preserve. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Hiding? Do we need a hiding place? Oh my. We need a hiding place. Where's our hiding place at? Paul said our life is hid with Christ in God. Huh? We're hid from foolish men. We're hid from the things of the world. We're hid from God's wrath. We're hid from no condemnation. We're hid from the judgment of God. And where are we hid at? We're hid in God. God's our hiding place. Where do you go hide at? You know, we used to play hide and seek. And I mean, the kids love to do it now. And the little old young will hide, and you see them just as plain as day because they don't know what hiding means. And they'll just hide in plain sight. But oh my, we got a hiding place. And I tell you what, we're in a place where sin can't find us, death can't find us, judgment can't find us, wrath can't find us. The devil can't even get to us. Where's that place at? It's in Christ. Huh? Oh boy. And then look what he says there in verse 8. And then here's another thing he'll do for us. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Huh? I tell you what, you know, those that have been forgiven of their sin, those whose iniquity is not imputed to them. God says this, he said, I'll teach you. All thy children shall be taught of God. And I tell you, the man who is blessed of God is taught of God. When we remember when the Lord taught you, remember this now. You remember when the Lord taught you that your sin, all of it, was gone once and for all. Huh? Now, who taught you that? God taught you that. Who taught you that your sins were covered by the blood of Christ? God taught you that. The Holy Spirit taught you that. Who taught you what sin really is? Before you had sins, before you had faults, but then all of a sudden you understood what sin is. Who taught you what sin is? God did. Who taught you what salvation is? That salvation was by a person. By the obedience of a person. The work of a person. The virtue of a person. The merit of a person. The worth of a person. And that person was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He by Himself purged our sins. He by Himself put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He by Himself offered Himself without spot to God. And He by Himself put our sins away. And He, beloved, by Himself saved us. Who taught you that? Who taught you that you had nothing whatsoever that you could ever do to get anything from God? God taught you that. It's a blessed man. He said, I'll teach you. I'll teach you. And oh, oh my, who taught you to seek the Lord? Who taught you to pray? Most places they got to teach you to pray. Most places they got to read a prayer. They don't know what it is to pray from the heart. They don't know what it is to call on God. They don't know what it is if they ain't got it wrote down. Mr. John Bunyan went and spent 12 years in prison because he would not read a prayer book. He'd preach in barns, he'd preach in the street, he'd preach in the square, he'd preach in Bedford Chapel. But they come and they've imposed this, said, now this is what you got to do. You got to read from this, and you got to let people say prayers from this and teach people from this. And Mr. Bunyan said, I will not do it. 12 years in prison. Because he believed that he was taught of God. And I can, and this thing here is not come from God. This come from the hands of men. And he wouldn't do it. And that's what he said, I'll teach you. That's why Paul, John said, you have the anointing of the Holy One and you need not any man teach you. God will teach you. And then look what else he said there. He said, not only will I instruct and teach thee in the way, but I'll guide you. But let me make a comment about it, teaching instruction. But look what he went on down to say in verse 9. He says, now when I teach you and instruct you in the way. You know, Paul and actually talked about the way so many times. But look what he says. But don't you be like a horse. And don't you be like a mule. That have no understanding. sometimes you feel like, you know, sometimes you just, you know, oh my. Somebody, people say all the time, how do you give mules attention? 2x4. But I tell you what, and whose mouth must be held in with bitten bridle, lest they come near unto you. Now don't you be like that. I'm going to teach you, but don't you act like a horse and don't you act like a mule. That's what he's saying. So I'm going to teach you. Don't you be like that. Oh man, you know, mules and horses don't have any way of reading the mind of God. And then he says that he'll guide you. He said, I'll guide you with my eye. That means that tells us that his eye's on us. We sang that song, his eye's on the sparrow. And it says in the scriptures, you know, he said the sparrows don't even fall to the ground without him. And I tell you, he closed the fields of the lilies and he closed up. But he said his eye, he said, I'll guide you with my eye. I'll put my eye right in front of you and I'll guide you. My eye will be right in front of you, guiding you along. My eye will. My eye will. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. And then look what he says there in verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, for they shall be. They shall be. I was thinking of a man just yesterday. A fella shot him, killed him. He was a mean man, wicked man, just always awful man. relatively young man. And the fella killed him because he was going to come and run over him, run in his house, take over. And he said, you ain't going to do it. And it was either him or that other, and he just killed him. And I thought, man, that boy was so mean. I mean, he was a mean, mean man. And he's been in hell since the day he was shot and went to hell that quick. And he's just as mean in hell right now as he was when he was on this earth. Sorrow's going to be on the wicked. Forever and ever and ever. People, I don't know why, but listen, death does not change a person's nature. And if you got a nature that knows God now, you'll have a nature that knows Him in glory. If you got a nature that loves Him now, you'll always love Him. If you got, you die with a nature that don't, and that's why He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. There'll be no sorrow for us. There'll be no sorrow for us. But he that trusts in the Lord, what, look what he says, mercy shall go all the way around him. Mercy goes all the way around him. Compass him about. Well, mercy's over here. Wherever I go, there's a circle of mercy in there. That's why Satan said to the Lord, he said, you know, if you can, you're Job. Said, the only reason in the world that he serves you is you've got a hedge around him. He said, you take that down, he'll curse you to your face. Well, God took it down. Job said, oh, he neither charged God foolishness nor charged him with sin. Never one time. And boy, when it's all said and done, God put that hedge back up and blessed him double with everything he ever had before. I mean, even if God takes it down, but he says, I compass them that trust in the Lord with mercy. With mercy. And then look what else he does to him. Back up there in verse 7. Not only does he compass him with mercy in the last part of verse 7, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Palms of victory, crowns of glory. Ah, deliverance has come. But that's why you know what I'm saying. He says here, he said, I'll not only compass you with mercy, but I'm going to sing songs of deliverance to you. You're going to sing songs about how I saved you. You're going to sing songs about the mercy of God. Sing songs about the grace of God. Sing songs about the power of God. Sing songs about Christ. Sing songs about the blood. You're going to sing songs that's going to honor me because I did it all. He said, I'll give you them songs and I'll compass you with them. And then look what he said last of all. Be glad in the Lord. Oh my, that's a... Be glad in the Lord. I am. I really am. I'm glad in the Lord. I can't find anything to be glad about in this world, but I can certainly find plenty to be glad about in Him. You know, it's the Lord that blesses us. It's the Lord that helps us. The Lord that strengthens us. Be glad in the Lord. And then look what He said. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. A royal way rejoice in the Lord. And who does this? You righteous. The righteous. Those men that he just started out saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And he comes down and says, you be glad in the Lord. Just knowing that our sins are forgiven and no iniquity is ever going to be charged to our account. That in and of itself is reason to be glad in the Lord and to rejoice. And you righteous, the one to do it. And listen to this. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Well, if you're ever upright in heart, you know who it is? Who made you that way? God did. Now rejoice in the Lord. Look with me in Psalm 115 and I'm through. Oh my, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll tell you why. Because He never changes. He never changes. It's impossible for Him to change. So we can rejoice in the Lord. And that's why David is saying here. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh, what a blessed truth. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven or covered. And blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Sins are covered. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. That's why we say we have a hiding place, and not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Amen. Oh, gracious, gracious Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, how blessed we are, how happy we are, how you cause our hearts to rejoice in the gospel. And Father, it's hard. It's faith is the only one can grasp it. Faith that you gave us can grasp this blessed truth that you never ever charge your children with sin or iniquity or transgression. That you put them all away. You don't regard them. You don't count them. You don't look at them. They're gone. And oh God, how we thank you for that. Oh, what joy it brings to our heart to know that there's no more wrath, no more judgment, no condemnation right now to them who are in Christ, put there by you. Blessed be your holy name. Bless these saints as they go home. And again, remember those we prayed for at the beginning. Lord, we love them. Ask for your guidance and strength for them. See them safely home. And those, Lord, whose bodies are so weak, pray for Darren and Kim. God, help them. Lord, help them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Hold them up by your blessed power and grace. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to say one verse. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sunday, God willing.